Check, check, 1, 2. Hello, Rock Church. We have a special night for you tonight. A little different night. We're taking a little 1 week break from the Simply So Acts series, but it's going to be for good reason. There's a couple different things we're going to do tonight, and I've been looking forward to this night for a long time. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have an awesome church. I remember we started this church 14 years ago in my living room, and I am blown away at the caliber of men and women that we have in our church, the character, the quality of people, the sacrifice, the service, the desire to simply sow and see people come to know Jesus, because it's all about Jesus, and that's what we have. We have a huge group of people that love Jesus Christ. We really, really do, and it blesses my heart. And so part of what we're going to do tonight is celebrate what God's done. There's some cool things I'm going to share with you by way of kind of announcement, and then that'll be toward the end. But before that, we are also involved in a very cool program. Probably it's a historic, truly historic opportunity for us and for the church in general. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and really probably the last opportunity for something like this to take place. And what you have in your program is a trifold brochure for the program we're going to be involved in, and it's with Billy Graham. Billy Graham turns 95, I believe, this year, November 7th, and he has initiated this program called My Hope with Billy Graham. It's his last crusade. That's what, in his words, it's his last crusade. He's an elderly gentleman now, and God has used him greatly, and he has a heart to reach as many people as he can, and we're going to join him along with hundreds and thousands of other churches across this country to impact people for Jesus Christ, and we're going to use the program that he's developed as a church we're going to be involved in. It fits beautifully. It really does with our Simply So theme for this year. So we thought, let's go all in. So the first part of the night, we're going to explain what this is for you, because it's coming up in November. That's coming up quick, and we have some training and different things. You need to know how you can be involved. So I'm going to introduce you in a minute the statewide director of the My Hope campaign, the Utah director. He's going to explain some things and show a video that explains some things to you. When he's done after that, he's going to make a charge to help fire you up to be involved. And then I'll come up, and we're going to talk about the Roots 2.0 campaign, where we're at, some exciting announcements about that. And then we're going to sing some more, and then we're going to have food, which is always a good idea. We have some special food for us in the back, because we're going to celebrate. All right, that's what we're going to do. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce a good friend of mine and also a ministry partner. We partner with Standing Together Ministries, and I've been part of Greg Johnson's board for 11, 12 years, something like that. We've been friends for that whole time, and Greg is a very influential man, but he's also part of our church. He's a godly man. He leads as director of Standing Together Ministries, but he's also the state coordinator for the My Hope with Billy Graham. So since he's in our church, I thought, what the heck would I announce this for when we got the man here to do it? So he's going to come up. Greg, why don't you come up, give him a round of applause. He'll explain to you some of the Billy Graham, what's going on, and then I'll come back up at the end of that. So you can have this right here.
Here we go. Thank you, Bill. How you doing, Rock Church? Well, that was lackluster. Because I've been here before when I've said, how you doing, Rock Church? And the response was just really awesome. But that was just kind of not so awesome. How you doing, Rock Church? It's good to be back. We love being a part of the Rock Church family, and our church, our family goes to the Sandy Rock, and we'll be sharing over tonight and tomorrow morning at the two services about what My Hope America is all about. And I just wanted to start off by just giving some props to Nathan Porter over there. I did not know you were organizing the underwear run in downtown Salt Lake City, but have you heard about the Indy Run, the Undy Run? On General Conference Sunday, no less. People will be running in their underwear for a charitable cause. I don't know why these people think these things up, but that is a bona fide thing, third year running, and the director of it is Nathan Porter. And I just think we should talk to you, Nathan, about that whole plan. I mean, where'd you get that idea? Maybe another Nathan Porter, but the guy is Nathan Porter. Obviously, you guys have not heard much about the Undy Run, and I'm glad, because I hope not many of you are running in it. It's just not something we should be doing. But I have been privileged this year to come aboard with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And to be able to do that has been really an honor. Because a year ago, in April of 2012, Franklin Graham and Billy Graham, his father, announced to the world, to the nation, certainly here in the United States, that they would be doing one last significant outreach to America. His final word, if you were, his farewell word to the United States about the spiritual condition. Now, here's a man who began his preaching in the late 1940s. If you know anything about that man named Billy Graham, and inside your bulletin, you have the little flyer. You should pull that out and check that out, because we are going to begin with an invitation for you to consider throughout the course of this this time here tonight. But Dr. Graham started his preaching in the late 1940s and became a world-famous evangelist. And over the last 60 years, he has literally preached to millions of people all over this globe about the good news of Jesus Christ, boldly proclaiming in culture after culture, not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save first to the Jew and also to the Gentile. And Billy Graham has been doing that. And under his preaching ministry, they would indicate that probably 3.5 million people through the course of the last 6 decades have given their heart to Jesus and have walked with him. And those are very conservative numbers. They get a lot of people that come forward and then they follow up. But you know, in 2002, they started an idea called My Hope. And the reason is because Dr. Graham can no longer preach. He is a very old man. 95, Bill said, he'll be on November 7th. But they have his resources of videos and materials, and they could put those together in a DVD and a presentation, and they did that. And between 2002 and 2012, in the first decade of the My Hope experiment, they saw 9.5 million decisions for Christ around the world. And they were just blown away. What made a small group invitation to a person's home where they could hear a presentation on video or on television different than going to a big stadium event, a crusade someplace? And maybe some of you have done that in your past. I did that as a young person in Anaheim in 1985. I went to a Billy Graham crusade. It was amazing. But somehow the invitation to a home, to an apartment, to your place, to a little hospitality, maybe a dessert, a dinner, a snack, or something, and then to share through this vehicle of Billy Graham preaching and sharing his faith, something really amazing has taken place. And when they announced this in April of 2012, Dr. Graham said, "I may not be here. At 93, there's no guarantees. But my prayer is that America will respond. For indeed, as America seems to be slipping away from its moral and spiritual foundations, right now they say that 60% of Americans do not regularly go to church. And over the last decade or so, the number of atheists in America have tripled. Something is happening in the negative direction when it comes to finding true faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this opportunity, My Hope America, and it's the DNA of the Rock Church and the Great Commission movement to be an evangelistic people, to be a Christ-sharing people, to lift up and to share good news. And so this is a very compatible opportunity. And we are so excited that right now, across America, nearly 21,000 churches are registered to participate, making it truly the largest collective outreach that America has ever seen. And it's very exciting. You know, I'm going to show you a video, and it's a little longer than typically we would do in a, you know, an upfront presentation, but this so clearly gives you a chance to see and understand what the My Hope experience is, how you might be able to participate, how you might be involved, and we want to show it to you because we want to give you a chance to begin to think even now, is God maybe speaking to me tonight about opening my home, about opening my apartment? Maybe husband and wife and family or singles joining together with other singles to invite a few of your friends on November 7th. We have the luxury here in Utah of using Friday, November 8th, and Saturday, November 9th as well, because KTMW Channel 20 is going to be showing the program all three nights. And on the national broadcast, which will be on Fox News channel, will be on November 7th. So you can choose any one of those three nights to have your Matthew party. This whole opportunity is based on that wonderful story, example of Jesus reaching out to a sinner named Matthew, who was a rather influential guy. He was a big shot. He was a tax collector. And his Jewish community did not like him because he was on the side of the Romans. But Jesus comes to Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, and he says, "Follow me." And whatever happened there, Matthew was so taken by Jesus that he closed his accounting books, his tax books, and that day his life ended as a tax collector because he began to follow Jesus and became one of the 12 disciples. But it says that night, Matthew invited a bunch of his friends to his house, threw a kind of a party, and said to the people that were there, "You've got to meet this guy. I mean, he came up to me today and said, 'You got to follow me,' and I've decided to follow him because he's not an ordinary man, and he doesn't have an ordinary message. There's hope in his words. There's fruit and eternal joy in this guy's message." And so Jesus came to that party. Some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't impressed with Jesus because Jesus was hanging out with a bunch of sinners, tax collectors, and folks that weren't so spiritual, weren't so good. And Jesus said, "This is where I want to be," because these folks know that there's something broken in their lives, something that's not working. And for over 60 years, Dr. Graham has been a blessing to this world. And one last time, through the medium of television and DVDs and the internet, you have a chance to step forward and be a part of something really significant. And who doesn't know that this might be the turning of the tide or the tipping point to bring us back to God as a country, as a nation, to begin to follow him again and to love him again and to follow Jesus again. And we have to take advantage of every opportunity. Before I just click the video on or have the video start, can I just bring a testimonial? I wish so badly that I could bring this couple up to you tonight. That would be a thrill for me to do, but I can't because they have long ago left this earth. They're both dead, and they're both in heaven from what I know and understand about someone's decision to accept Christ. But I met them when I was in ninth grade. I had just come to know Jesus myself. I was a brand new Christian. We moved from Colorado to Southern California, and my mom had to take an apartment manager's job in a really low-income apartment complex. It wasn't the best place to spend my 4 years of high school, but God taught me a lot about the brokenness of people in that apartment complex. And the very first week that I was there, a knock came on the door, and I went to the door, 14, 15 years old, opened the door, and I'm not kidding, the most hideous person I have ever seen physically was standing on the other side of my screen, a woman named Naomi, elderly and covered and riddled literally in a skin disease that took your breath away to see her. It was disgusting. And for a 15-year-old kid, it was way too much. I didn't even know how to talk to her. She said, "Is your mother in?" She was my new neighbor. She and her husband Floyd, dying of emphysema in the last stages. A once upon a time, big, tough, mean, foul-mouthed truck driver was now nothing but a shell of a human being, gasping for breath with oxygen. I went and got my mom and I said, "I don't know who that woman is, but there's someone at the door. You're not going to believe how ugly she is." There she went. And somehow we just debriefed. But I'm telling you, folks, God used Naomi and Floyd to change my life. Because the next thing I knew, I was being asked if I could help out a little bit, empty their garbage, clean up a little bit for them, actually go into their apartment. And little by little, week by week, somehow her facial situation, her disease began to kind of become less noticeable, and the beautiful woman that she was inside became more apparent to me. And even as a young person, I found myself so intrigued, and I began to talk to them about Jesus, and I asked them if they knew Jesus, and I knew that Floyd did not know Jesus, and maybe Naomi did. And so I asked them, "Hey, can I come over every day after school and just read you guys the Bible for a little while? Would you like to do that?" And they said yes. And it was an amazing experience. A week later, or a couple weeks later, a house lady that we were able to find for her came and began to clean up their home on Saturday. And she was a Christian lady. And Eva had the privilege of leading Floyd and Naomi to Christ. And I can still remember her crying out to our apartment on that Saturday, "Greg and Claudette, come in here. We got two brand new little babies in Jesus. You got to come and see." And I came into that apartment. And I saw that hideous woman and that frail of a man with a joy and a smile in their heart. And I knew at that moment in my life, at my young Christian life,
that had to be the most important privilege that any human being could ever be a part of, to reach out to a broken person and to tell them how Jesus has changed your life, that they might too see the glorious light and the wonderful hope of God. That's what My Hope America is all about. And one day, the best prize that I'm going to get when I walk through heaven, second to seeing Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, is to meet some of the people that God allowed me, the Floyd and Naomi's, to be a part of their spiritual journey to Jesus. And it will be the same for you. Nothing will be a greater reward and nothing will be a greater joy than to seeing those people enjoying heaven, knowing that they've been spared eternal hell and separation from God. And if they were standing here today, they'd say, listen to what Greg's saying. We were that close to a Christless eternity. But God brought some people into our life near the end of our life, and we met Jesus. And I know that Floyd and Naomi have been enjoying His love for probably 25 years now. So folks, let's listen to a brief presentation on what My Hope America is all about. This will help you. And as you're listening, know that I'm going to come up here and ask some of you, as many of you that will, to stand up and say, yes, I can do something like that. I'll open up my home. I'll invite some friends, and I'll let them listen to this message about Jesus' love. So let's watch this together.
If you're watching this presentation, you get it. You know deep down inside your gut something's not right. Our nation needs help.
Millions of people are crying for help on the inside, but no one hears them. Listen to them.
When 7 out of 100 people struggle with depression, even contemplating suicide, and 14 are crippled with anxiety and fear, and 60 out of 100 don't profess to know Jesus Christ.
We are living in a world that hurts. Well, our hope is in Christ.
And because you know this hope, you are about to become a part of a movement that will transform this nation one heart at a time. Working together with local churches under the umbrella of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you are about to become a part of a massive nationwide outreach called My Hope America. Together, we'll proclaim the one message that can radically change a human heart and fundamentally alter the course of a nation, the gospel of Jesus. This strategy is pretty straightforward and highly effective. It's about relationships, and it's based on a man in the Bible named Matthew. Matthew was a disciple or follower of Jesus. When Matthew met Jesus, he was changed. He wanted to share his good news with everyone, so naturally, he threw a party. You're a modern-day Matthew. Now, this just isn't about social gatherings. It's about life and death stuff. It's important. It's history-making. It's life-changing. Now is the time for those you know and love to meet Jesus.
Morning is back. All of the dust from the months that lay hollow.
What you doing?
Thinking.
You nervous?
A little. I mean, we haven't done anything like this before.
I know. But I am excited to see what happens.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, who should we invite?
First person I thought about was Juan.
Yeah, Juan.
Mm-hmm. All right. I used to see him all the time, but not so much anymore.
Well, then we should definitely invite him. Yeah.
Okay. Who else?
I was thinking about my friend Joanne.
Yeah, Darren just told me she got laid off from her job.
Yeah. Joanne.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna head to the gym.
Okay. Well, there's this woman that I see at the grocery store. I see her all the time, and
yeah,
she probably won't be interested.
Why not? You don't know. Invite her.
Okay, I will.
You okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, Mr. Landis.
Hey, Miss Diaz.
Hey.
Hi.
Is Juan around?
Yes, he is. Let me call him.
Great.
Juan, you have visitors.
Oh, hey.
Juan. Hey, man. You know my wife, Kathy?
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Friday night, we're having some people over. We're going to be sharing a video, but also playing some b-ball afterwards. And we'd love for you to come by if you can.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It's been a while since we played. So
yeah. Hey, Sandra.
Hey.
Hey, whatever happened to that deal you were working on?
It fell through.
Oh, no.
It's slow, but hopefully things will work out.
Well, listen, I was wondering, my husband and I are having a get-together this weekend with some friends,
really?
Some food, and we're going to watch a program on TV about hope. I would love
it. You know what? I'm leaving.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't know anybody there.
Oh, well, you know me. That's fine.
Well, that's true. Let me think about it.
Yeah.
I hope we're not too late.
Oh, my goodness. You're like the first to arrive. What is this?
My specialty.
You shouldn't have, but I'm glad you did. Hey. I'm so glad you can make it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, guys. Let's get started.
I want to welcome you all here. I cannot tell you how excited we are to have you. It means so much to Mike and me to have you in our lives. And as I mentioned, we're going to watch a video tonight, one that's really special to us. So, let's do it, honey.
You are made in the image of God. God created you. And God has a purpose for you, and He loves you. Whoever you are, He loves you. He became sin. Think of it. Jesus Christ, this pure, this wonderful, the greatest person that ever lived, the holiest person that ever lived, the Son of the living God, became sin. Through Christ, we can have the most fundamental relationship in life restored if you put your faith and your confidence in Him.
There's something else we wanted to share with you tonight. A few years ago, Mike and I went through a rough time in our marriage. And honestly, I didn't think we were going to make it. But something happened. Something that healed our marriage. It made us better people. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ.
We couldn't have made it on our own. So one night, we made a decision. Together, we sat down and we prayed the very same prayer that was on that program tonight. We decided to give our entire lives over to Jesus, total control. And you know what? Since that night, our lives have been totally different. We actually are learning to forgive each other like Christ forgave us. And I can tell you truly, right now you can choose to make a change, to change your life, to change your heart forever. And it only takes a moment. If you would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you.
Kathy, the other day when you invited me to your house, I almost said no because... How do I say this? Well, things at home aren't real good for me right now. My husband, Well, our marriage may not last. I want it to work. And I know he does too. It's just we fight all the time. I didn't know where to turn. But now, well, I think in some way you were sent to help me.
I just want to say thank you. You're welcome anytime.
I'm so glad you're in my life. And don't forget, I'm looking forward to seeing you in church on Sunday.
Your turn to be part of something bigger than yourself. But just like the Matthews and our scenario, you won't be in it alone. Remember, whenever you lift up the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus promised his disciples that God the Father would send the Holy Spirit to teach and empower them to be a witness. He's done the same for you, and that's a powerful promise. You also have relevant and carefully planned resources through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Use them to get started, to keep organized, and to assist with all of the important follow-up. Plus, local pastors and churches are mobilized to stand with you as you share the hope that you found in Jesus Christ. And you're doing it in a very personal way, opening your home and heart to those around you. So here's our My Hope strategy in 5 clear steps. First, look around. The key is to really look at the people you connect with every day. Consider fellow classmates or coworkers, friends, folks in your immediate community. A lot of hurting people are just waiting for the right kind of invitation. Why not let it be yours? And no matter how okay they seem to be on the outside, if you're not sure that they know Christ, write their names on your list. Second, look up. Commit to prayer. Pray specifically for each person on your list. Pray fervently that they say yes to our invitation and yes to Jesus. And pray consistently, making it a daily priority. Don't underestimate it and don't neglect it. Prayer is the key to this monumental effort. Step 3, look out. Keep your eyes open for ways to invest in those that you plan to invite. Be intentional about strengthening your relationships. A small gesture, a kind word, or a sincere conversation about what's on their mind can mean so much. Share your concerns in your time and watch what God does. Next, you're going to look forward. This involves preparing yourself spiritually. Extend a personal invitation to everyone on your list. Invite them over for a meal and a relaxing conversation. Let them know you plan to show a video. If doubts arise or if the nerves flutter, trust God and move forward in faith. You've been praying for months and the Holy Spirit is with you. At the appropriate time, invite your guests to make themselves comfortable as you introduce the My Hope video. Be confident and prayerful. This video was inspiring and thoughtfully produced. But most importantly, it boldly presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. After watching the video, turn off the program and share your story, but be brief, make it 3 minutes or less. Invite others to accept Jesus. In Him, you're offering redemption, restoration, wisdom, unconditional love, salvation, eternal life, and so much more. Before the evening is over, make sure to invite everyone to visit your church on Sunday. Then follow through with our fifth and final step in a My Hope strategy. Look after. Whether they've made a decision for Christ or not, look after all those who attended. Here's what the materials you've downloaded from our website or collected from your church play a major part. The My Decision pamphlet should be given to each person who prays the prayer of salvation and to those who express interest in receiving Christ. Use the Living in Christ booklet to organize a weekly Bible study in your home. It outlines four key lessons that are imperative for new believers. Remember, the needs are great, but our answer is sure. Hold fast to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. God bless you, guide you, and empower you as you join thousands of Matthews across the nation for this powerful movement of hope.
The temptation after watching a video like that is to kind of think that this is an event, a program per se, but I just want to encourage you guys to realize that the heartbeat of My Hope America and what Billy Graham's asking us all to do is just to live out our faith in the most authentic, relational way that we can. I want you to know the pastoral team here, as I met with them and as they've encouraged me to come to share this message of My Hope, we're all hoping that as many of you as possible would open up your home. This is not something you're just going to watch through your small group program, if you will, or with your small group, but members of the small group, you know, just separating for this particular occasion to reach out to your particular friends and influences. So, you know, November 7th, 8th, and 9th is just a place in the future that you can create and have an opportunity to share God's love through a very anointed message. And I want to encourage you to check out the website. There is a table back there. There's resources. Every one of you that agrees to be a Matthew and wants to do this and have a Matthew party, there's some wonderful resources that you'll be given and a special training experience where you won't just kind of be left on your own, but encouraged and helped along in the process. And so I want to just ask you right now, before I leave, how many of you are feeling like you could do this? How many of you are saying, you know what? I could do that. I got some friends. I could write some names down on a Matthew list, and I could pray and ask God for opportunities, and I'll just trust God to see who can come and who can participate. Some of you might have Matthew parties with 3 or 4 people. Some might have Matthew parties with 10 or 15. Who knows? But would you be willing to step out in faith to trust that the God who has saved your soul, that has given you peace and eternal life, might use you? Like that woman in the film said, I kind of think God sent you to help me in some way. How many people are out there in your life right now that need what you've got? So I just want to close this in prayer, but I want to ask if you're willing to, and you may not be ready at this time, but if you are ready, we would just love to celebrate because there are some issues of celebration tonight. I'm just going to ask if you feel like you're ready and you're planning on doing this and be a part of it, would you just stand wherever you're at that you could say, yeah, I'll host a party. Just all over. It's so great to see that. The numbers of you that are stepping forward are just saying, hey, yeah, I can do that. And some of you aren't, you know, if you're not standing, you're processing this, you're thinking it through. I just want you to know that you have an opportunity to think this through and you can make this decision in the next little while. So I want to thank all of you that just stood. I want to pray for you. You can go ahead and sit down. But I want you to know that as I pray, I know Bill will be coming up after I pray, but I want to just encourage you to stop by the table back there. Tim Stevens will be there to talk with you. And, you know, please sign up and let them know that you'd like to be a part of this so they can reach out and train with you. Father, I just want to close tonight by praying for each person that stood up, for each couple, each individual. Lord, I saw a number of people stand up and say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll be a part of that. And I think others will, you know, after thinking it through and processing it and say, yeah, we can do that as well. And Lord, I don't know if there'll be 10 or 15 or 25 or 50 different Matthew parties from the downtown Rock, But Lord, if you just add up all the possibilities of people that are reached out to, invited over from all those groups, there could be hundreds of people that would hear the gospel, the message of God's love through Billy Graham's presentation in the hospitality of a home. And Lord, we're not in the business of saving anybody. It's not our reputation on the line. Lord, you're in the business of saving people. You just said if we would lift up your name, that you would draw people to yourself. So I just want to pray for everyone who stood and even everyone who didn't to know that you have a plan and a purpose for them, to use them, to bring people forward, to help them along, to discover that God's love is real, it is powerful. There's something to this forgiveness thing. There's something to this purpose thing. There's something to this idea that beyond the grave, there's something more. And to be able to share that with people and help them is such an awesome privilege, God. It is an awesome privilege. And I just pray that you would use all the Rock churches and all the churches across Utah that are participating and all the individual Matthews to do some pretty amazing things on November 7th, 8th, and 9th. May it be a national revival, God. May people all over this country find that Jesus is real and that his life was shed for their lives and his blood was shed and that he is the answer that they've been looking for. And so, Lord, just be with this church, all the churches, as we lift up the name of Jesus. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your game. Amen. So if you stood up and you're interested or want more information, just go to the table in the back, like Greg mentioned. We'll get that to you. We also have a training time October 7th. It's a Monday night at the Sandy facility. It'll be a short hour, maybe hour and 15 minutes, where we'll train you and give you materials, help you be successful as a Matthew. So just so you know, our church is all in with this. We really feel like it fits our theme, and we feel like it's our heart. And we're just going to step out in faith as a church and say, let's do this. Let's see what God can do. Amen? So the second part of what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about our Roots campaign. If you're new with us and you don't know what this is, our church in Sandy, we meet in a facility that's somewhat broken down, to say the least. We've been there for 10 years now. And we have been asked to leave, and that's a pretty big deal. They're building some other buildings in that parking lot, and they're saying, hey, you're going to have to go. And we realize that in Utah, especially, to have a facility of our own that's not necessarily broken down, there is some advantage to that. It's not necessary in most places, but I think there's an advantage in Utah, especially when we're reaching a culture of people that, for the most part, have had a nice building to go to their whole life just a block away. And even aside from that, the fact that we're getting kicked out, probably within the next few months, we're going to have to leave. So we have been working really hard to get a place of our own, and we did a capital campaign at the beginning of this year, and it ended on June 1st. And we just want to give you some updates now and take time to celebrate, because it is a big deal for our church. It is a really big deal. So what I want to do first is just show you our video that we produced to kind of show you the road that we've gone down. It's been a wild ride. As far as the Rock Church, God has done amazing things. Thousands of people have come to know Christ. God has done so much. It's all about lives changing, people coming into a relationship with Christ. So what we did is we put together kind of a fun video to show you a brief history of the Rock Church. And I'm going to come up and just spend just a few minutes announcing some cool things and showing you some pictures of what's happening recently. So let's just watch this, and I'll be right back up.
You know, planting the Rock Church has kind of been like a little bit of a wild car ride. It's been scary times. Also, I wonder where we're going at different times. But it's always been fun and exhilarating. God has done so much. And I thought it would be fun just to take a little ride physically and go to the different places that we've actually met throughout the history of the Rock Church, especially to give those who haven't been with us that long somewhat of a background for what God has done through the Rock Church and how he has blessed us. So I thought I'd start with the houses that both Mac and I bought in 1999 before we moved out here, and take us through all the different locations.
So this is where we had our first service. Remember, it was me preaching to you and to Jeannie and to Mary.
Yeah, I remember. This is ground zero. I remember you even had bulletins.
I did.
You came, you handed us a bulletin. So
no PowerPoint, though.
Yeah, well, I think there was fill in the blanks. So it was awesome, yeah. Got really blessed using this house, and this is where it all started.
People started coming, and we only did that for about 2.5 months before we actually started our service at Alta Canyon Sports Center.
Yeah, I remember being so excited when you came and told us that you had found a place, that the Alta Rec Center would be available, and you really felt that that'd be a great place for us to begin doing church publicly for the first time. So we were all so excited about that. Although it was fun here, we were outgrowing your house.
Yeah, that's true. Again, it's about people. It's about what God was doing in people's lives, and ever since we've been here, whether it's in the living room or at Alta Canyon, wherever it is, it's always been about seeing people's lives change, and Jesus does that, and we believe it.
Well, this is the first place that we met in way back in 1999, 3 years in the aerobics room. And we grew here. We had to set up every morning. We came in, and I double counted because the mirror's over here. We had lots of people coming. This was it. This was the place God gave us. This is where we started. We'd meet people out in the lobby, and Josh would be here early to be setting up chairs. You remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right here on this little carpet where we'd set up a table every Sunday morning. We'd have all the sign-ins and everything for just us to greet people. We'd hand out the bulletins. And if you hear a lot of people talking about how they would come into the rec center and people would hand them a bulletin, and this is right where that happens.
It may be an aerobics room, but truly, it's not about the building. It's not even about a room with mirrors and weights and people doing aerobics. A lot of people came here and a lot of changed lives. This is where truly our church began, and we grew and we grew and we grew, and we eventually got asked to leave. We were packing this place out every Sunday, and we had to go find a place in about 30 days, but we would have kids' areas over in the racquetball room. We'd baptize people in an Olympic-sized baptismal pool, and this is what God had for us. But again, it's all about what God did to change lives. So, Max, you remember the first time we came into this building and the landlord was showing us our future house?
Yeah, I do. I don't even think he really wanted to show it to us, but we had bothered him so many times. He finally showed up, gave in, thought this would be the last place we'd ever want to build a church.
Yeah, I don't think he thought we'd be serious about it. Once he showed it to us, because we stood right over there, and we could hear water, a burst pipe, water rushing through the ceiling, and ceiling tiles were down, and it smelled bad, too, in here. But I think what was cool was that I think we saw it with eyes of faith, that even though it was completely trash, and rooms back there had wooden floors that were at a 3-foot, bow because they'd been wet for so long, we saw that this was a place God could use to bring people and just simply hear the message of Christ. That's all we wanted to do, was to have a place to do that, and we did that here. I think the fact that we've been asked to leave this place in July, that they say they're going to tear it down, is a pretty good indication that God's leading us. And the fact that we have land, we just simply need to put a building on that property. And again, not just to have a nice building. You can tell we don't care about nice buildings. It won't hurt to have a nice building, but it's going to bring more people to a point where we can simply tell them about Jesus Christ. And so we may leave this place, but the church is coming with. The church is going to be in Draper. It doesn't matter what building we're in. So we're excited about what God's going to do in the future, this next season. In 2003, we had grown as a church. We had a number of young men and women coming, and we actually hired our first staffer, Paige Crosswhite. And I turned her loose and I said, Paige, go find a place we could plant our first church, a church that would be relevant to her friends, who we had a bunch of at that time, and this is a building she found.
I'd looked at several places. We were launching in 3 weeks. We had no place to meet and only phone calls to my number and a website to go to. In 1 year, it was fascinating because we grew so much. We were trying to hit a relevant culture. I remember Bill just said, Paige, build a place that your friends are going to want to come to. And that's what I did. I gathered a small group of people. I said, guys, this is our vision. Let's go for it. We were all volunteering. I was the only one working for the church. And we built this place.
Josh and I were working together to turn the downtown building into somewhat of a presentable church. And at that time, we had a plan to put together a coffee bar that involved some mixing of cement and moving of heavy bags and putting these cement pallets into place. And as Josh was telling me this, I had the thought, we don't have any men that are going to be able to help us do this. And so we made some phone calls, and that night we had 8 guys show up. And I remember screaming on the top of my lungs, Josh, can you believe that we have 8 faithful guys that showed up to help us with this coffee bar?
And I remember when we started, we had 1 childcare room, and we had like 1 or 2 childcare workers.
We dump out our bin of toys, and the 3 of us are sitting around playing with our kids and watching them play with the toys. And you fast forward 8, 9 years, there's 60, 70 kids showing up on a Saturday night. And those kids, there's a lot of kids, but the reason those kids are encouraging to me is because it translates to change lives. Because most of those kids, their parents weren't even in the church 8, 9 years ago. Mom and dad got saved, they joined the church, they got married, and now they've had a kid or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5.
On God's Heart is People. In the fall of 2006 and even on into 2007, the downtown church, downtown Salt Lake Rock, was raging. The seats were full, and we're trying to figure out maybe where would the next strategic church plant be. And we realized in the first front rows of church, it seemed like every Saturday, there were a group of people coming up from Utah County. During worship, they'd be raising their hands. Each time we had baptisms, it seemed like someone from that group was getting baptized. And later on that spring, the pastors got together for a retreat up in Ogden. We were praying and seeking the Lord for what our next church plant might be, what God was doing, and we realized that God was calling us. I realized personally, God spoke to my heart, that we would plant a church in Utah County. So not long after that, we moved down here and rented out this old warehouse, and we had fun fixing it up. It was trashed. It was an old auto repair business, and it was just a wreck. But a number of people from Sandy and Salt Lake came down and helped us fix it up. Now, 5.5 years later, we're confident God is still doing that. In fact, we're fixing up the building again, putting new paint on it. But God is still saving people. There's still baptisms, and it's still on his heart about people. We really think that this is a strategic location right here in downtown Provo, where God will continue to use this place as a rescue shop.
Ever since we moved to this valley, we had a dream to have a home of our own. Finally, I think God has brought us to this place. This piece of property is where God has brought us. We're excited to put a building on this land and get our roots down deep so that we can have greater impact for Jesus Christ.
After our first roots program, we had enough money to pay for this land in 2008. Now, when we get a building, I believe it's going to give us stability, legitimacy, and opportunities like we've never had before to share the love of Christ with Utah. I just want you to imagine with me what it'll be like when we finally put a building on this dirt.
This is the spot where God has decided to move his pillar of fire. This is the land that he has chosen for us to build him a new church home. To start that, we're launching our Roots 2.0 fundraising campaign. With a successful campaign, we will have the funds necessary to start construction on a new permanent facility. Envision with me this being the nursery in our new church home. Over here would be the toddlers. Over here would be the classrooms. Here we would have the sanctuary where we can worship our Lord and Savior and hear messages from our pastor. Over here would be the lobby where we could fellowship with family and friends.
Seeing what God has done in the past with the Rock Church has definitely been a ride. But I believe with all my heart that what he has for us in the future will make the past look like black and white. Thanks for being a part of this ride down the history of the Rock Church. It has been so cool to see what God has done. But I want to tell you something. It's about time to buckle up because we have a future that we can't even imagine. God has plans for this church, and you are part of those plans. In order to make this dream come to reality, put a building on this land, it's going to take more than just land or just dreaming. We're going to have to commit financially. But if we all work together, honestly, I believe we can make this happen. I know we can. You need to be a part. You need to commit. And I believe that if we work together, we can accomplish amazing things. I believe God wants to win Utah and therefore reach the world. I want you to be a part of what God is doing at the Rock Church.
Amen. Amen. That's good. It's good to see that. Remember what God's done, and he has a future for us. Let me just share with you kind of what God's done since that point. Again, we did our capital campaign a number of years ago to purchase the land. The land's all paid for. We did another capital campaign that started June 1st. That's when we started giving. A number of us made 36-month pledges, and we started giving on June 1st. So we're just going to give you a little update. To celebrate, I'm going to go through this fast, 16 weeks ago. That was just 16 weeks ago when we started giving toward this building, all right? And we've been working hard with the architects and the builders, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But 211 families, okay? We're one church in three locations. If you haven't figured that out, you just saw that. And so all three locations together, 211 families have pledged $1.62 million above and beyond their regular giving in our church. That's why they pledge over a 36-month period. So we started 16 weeks ago. There's 156 weeks in 3 years. So we're just 16 weeks into 156 weeks of giving, okay? So you think, well, we're just getting started. Yes, that's true. But with 140 weeks left, that's about 10% of the giving weeks left. This is about where we should be. I just have some exciting news for you. In just 16 short weeks, this is what you guys have done. You've given 26% of that money. $420,000 has come in. I mean, that is amazing. The guy that helped us with our capital campaign, he's amazed. He says, this just doesn't happen. Rock Church, I'm incredibly thrilled that you guys are so generous. I mean, I know there's been some really big gifts. Some people have given their gift up front, but that is incredible. 26%. 16 weeks in, we have 140 weeks left of giving, and I think God's going to do it. So that's a big celebration item for sure. Just to let you know, the construction documents, all the drawings were 100% completed this week. They're done. Our construction documents are done for phase one. Design phase is nearly complete. We're ready to submit to Draper City to get our permits. Again, this has been a lot of minutia. If you've ever been in a project like this, which I haven't, there's a lot of details, which I knew there would be. Draper has already returned our site plan. We've had our own civil engineer who has donated so much time and energy to draw these site plans and all the civil and the groundwork and all the parking lot and all that. He's given that to us. That's tens of thousands of dollars that have been donated through our civil engineer. So God bless him. We're working with utility companies to get the cables buried. We're going to demo starting with the tree on the 28th. We're going to take the tree down. We can celebrate that. We're going to take that tree down on our property. It's a big dead tree anyway. We're going to take it out of there. Again, this is what our building is because we're getting kicked out of our Sandy facility. We're doing it in two phases. This will be the phase we'll build. It's kind of the educational wing. So what we did originally, we were going to build the whole thing. We decided it'd be easier to do it in phases. So we expanded a little bit and made this space just big enough where we could fit. It's 20% bigger than the space we meet in now, but it's not nearly as big as we need in Sandy. But this will work for us. So this is where we're going to build first. So this is the basic floor plan. It's changed somewhat, but it gives you an idea of what we're going to have. It's about 360 chairs that can fit. We can have two services to fit everybody. I thought it'd be fun just to see. This is the official BGW, Building God's Way. This is the floor plan. This is one of the 80 pages of the documents that they turned in just last week. Okay. This is the landscape design. I just love stuff like this. Some of you maybe don't. I just love seeing stuff like this, and it's really going to happen. This isn't just pie in the sky. We have $420,000 that you guys have given in 16 weeks. So we actually have money in the bank that we're pressing ahead, and we're doing this thing. We want to start digging in October. That'd be our goal, to start digging in October, get the pad, the concrete down before the snow flies. That's really what we're trying to do at this point. This is what the elevations will look like, east and west elevations. Look at it quick. I don't know whose car is that. Is that Austin's car? His truck there? I don't know what kind of truck he has. north-south elevations is going to be very cool. Again, it's a modest building. It's not the Crystal Cathedral. It's a modest box building to get her done. We're just going to preach the gospel. That's what we want to do. It's going to be nicer than what we meet in now. These are some of what it's going to look like inside the coffee bar, outside the sanctuary. The sanctuary is really the youth group room. Once we build our second phase, the sanctuary is really just a big meeting room where we'll have youth group meetings and weddings and overflow and whatnot. So we're just trying to make this as nice as possible for an education wing so we can meet there for a while. So this is what it'll look like, again, outside of the sanctuary. Oh, we also have a fly-through. I want to show you a fly-through. This is what the Kids Rock area will look like. Austin Evenson, who's one of the architects, is helping and works for Building God's Way. He developed just yesterday. He put this together for us, just a quick fly-through to kind of show you an animation of what it looks like in our auditorium, what the new auditorium will look like. Let's just look at that real quick. It just takes about 2 minutes, I think. It's very cool, though. Oh, amen. And I said Austin Evenson, your brother, Kaylee. I meant Austin Fredrickson is the architect that blessed us with that. That was, again, things like this are just being given to us free. That's probably a $5,000 to $6,000 thing to get produced. He's going to actually do that for our whole second phase and show the whole building. So anyway, let's just go through some of these. Again, you just saw some of these pictures. This is what the auditorium will kind of look like, which is very cool. This is just to get you excited. I'm getting excited about this. And again, here's what phase one will look like on that property. And then we're going to add phase two with the larger auditorium in the future. And hopefully it won't be too long after we move in here. We'll get it paid for. Again, this is what it looks like, phase one. It's on 7th East and 114th South, just over the border in Draper, just behind the Harmons there, if you're wondering where it's at. This is what phase two will look like. We're going to have a big, I like this. This is a big, like a McDonald's playline area. It's going to be our toddler's room, but it's going to have all that playground equipment with all the windows. And driving down 7th East, everyone will see that. And we're told people will flock in there just because of that. So we'll do anything to get people in our building and tell them about Jesus, even do a McDonald's playline, which I think, and you can kind of see it here. It's kind of cool. Playline's going to be neat. All right. Yeah, it'll be neat. Yeah, that's... So... by next summer, this thing could be built. It could be. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all of you that have been a part. You know, I'm sacrificing, and many of you, 211 families, are sacrificing to make this happen. God is good. God is doing amazing things. And again, what this translates to truly is more opportunities to be able to tell people about Jesus. And this will give us a base camp where we can expand even further throughout Utah. So God bless you. Thank you so much for all of you, obviously, that are given to go $420,000 in 16 weeks. God bless you guys. Give yourself a round of applause. You're doing an amazing job, and I want to thank you. So that's all I have. We're going to sing some more, and then we have food back there, okay? We have extra food just to celebrate and a way to say thank you. So let me pray while they come up here, and I think they're going to sing some more songs. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done over the last 14 years. You have truly amazed us, God, and I'm thrilled and blessed to be able to do church and to do life with these people. God, I love the verse in Psalm 35:18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. And I do. I just give you thanks, and I thank you for all these people. I thank you for how what they're giving translates into changed lives. And I thank you, God, for the generosity of the saints. Thank you for being able to labor with these folks. And I pray that we would celebrate and give thanks to you tonight for what you've done. We are truly amazed and blown away by how you have blessed us. And we thank you, God, that you're good to us. And we bless you, and we commit even this whole project to you. It's in your hands, God, and we commit it to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.